First, if you have your Bible, turn, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll start there. I'm going to be reading out the Passion's translation as you're turning. This last February, this February coming, we've been traveling for 12 years. And we've been doing what God's called us to do, to travel and to be to support the body of Christ, the pastors, the vision in the church, to build the kingdom of God. Before COVID, we were in Ireland, Africa, India, and just Malaysia. As God opened doors and opportunities for us to minister. And in the beginning, as we stepped out in 2012, one of the things that God dropped in my heart was Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. And in short, he's called us to impart, establish, and encourage the body of Christ. And then God began to develop that. And the reason I'm telling you this is because my message and the things that I preach kind of go in line with this mandate that God's placed upon us. And so to impart, establish, and encourage. And then God began to develop this understanding that God wants us to awaken the spiritual condition of the church by imparting. And then God wants us to restore confidence by establishing core principles, biblical truths, who you are in Christ Jesus. Come on, somebody. And then lastly, to activate the believer by, courageous conquests, great exploits by encouraging. How many of y'all, we all know we need a little pat on the back sometime. I don't know about you. My love language is words of affirmation. Doesn't give me a big head, just makes me feel like we can go, let's do it. So sometimes we just need that encouragement. We need that pat on the back. And so as you awaken the condition of who you are on the inside, and then you begin to restore confidence and activate the believer, you begin to see that the kingdom of God is built and it begins to take ground for his glory. Amen. And so this morning, that's my endeavor. That's my heart's desire as we begin to dive into this message and to see what God would have us to preach. They say a traveling minister has about five messages and they just rotate them. I've actually never preached this message, so maybe now I have six. Okay, so I'm asking you to work with me, okay? Because this isn't memorized. I don't have this, like, you know, I do this everywhere I go and I got my 4 points. This is something that I believe that God has mandated me to do also, which is Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 and 5, that God would give me the tongue of the learned or the instructed, that I would have a word in season to them that are weary. It goes on to say, verse 5, that God, he awakens me to hear. We're going to talk a little bit about that, to hearing the voice of God. But hearing, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I believe that God is wanting to speak to his church to encourage you, amen, to have a word in season for where you are, to make sure that you don't draw back, you don't give up, but rather you press in to the fullness of what God has deposited on the inside of you. How many of y'all know God's not coming back for a beat up, knuckle dragging church? God's coming back for a body of Christ that knows their position in him, that knows their authority, that uses the name of Jesus, that walks by faith and uses the gifts of the Spirit to bring change to the community they live in. Amen. So we're going to be diving into that this morning. Do you mind if I tell you a joke real quick? I'm trying to, hit all the pins here this morning, but one of the first steps in communicating is hook. So my joke's my hook this morning. All right, we're going to grab you with this. But there's a new pastor, just took over a church. And if Joel Osteen can start his message with a joke, I guess I could do it. Amen. All right. Thumbs up from Alina. We're on the right track this morning. All right. Good job. But this new pastor taking over for a pastor that retired and kind of getting to know the church, he felt like he would go out, knock on some doors and get to know his parishioners. And so he heads out. And at this one house, it's obvious somebody was home. But as at the avail to his knock, no one came to the door. So he pulls out a business card and he writes on the business card, Revelations 3:20, sticks it in the door. That following Sunday in the offering plate is that business card that had been returned. And underneath his citation was his, another scripture that said Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. So he kind of wanting to refresh himself, he reaches for his Bible to look up the verse, knowing that Revelations 3:20 says, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody answers, I will come in and sup with him. And as he looks in his Bible, Genesis chapter 3, verse 10 says, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid, for I was naked. Amen. So, amen. There you go. Oh, man. Praise God. Goodbye, everybody. We'll see you tonight. It's going to be a great worship. Here we go. All right. Hallelujah. Let me get to my, I'm going to read this out of the Passion's Translation. 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to start in verse 13. It says this, "So then, prepare your hearts and your mind for action. Stay alert and fix your hope firmly on the marvelous grace that is coming to you. For when Jesus Christ is unveiled, a greater measure of grace will be released to you. As God's obedient children, never again shape your lives by the desires that you followed when you didn't know better. Instead," verse 15, "instead, shape your lives to become like the Holy One who called you," or another translation would say, "invited you. For Scripture says, you are to be holy because I am holy." This morning I want to talk to you, if lack of a better title, is God's standard. God's standard. Because God has a standard for us to live in. There's a, in the season that we're living in, I wrote some things down and I just want to read this to you. Understanding the time and the season that we're living in, with the increase of disease, failure in the human body, in Apple News, there rose up this article that said that ADHD has increased in the adult population. Thought that was intriguing. Attack on our children. The state of Washington has a bill right now. I don't know where it's at, but it's already gotten approval through several parts of their legislation that supports trans-sex changes in kids without parent support or consent. The Middle East, on all are all the players that are foretold in the Ezekiel 38, the Battle of Armageddon are responding. Russia, Iran, Iraq, Turkey, China, just to name a few, have all joined together. There is a working right now where there is currency, digital currency, that is being developed to create a one world government, a banking currency. It's called the CBDC, or Central Bank of Digital Currency. What's his, I'm trying to think, who started Microsoft? Was it Al Gore? Or no, that's who's the other guy? I don't know. We're, throw out some names. Anyways, you know, that Tim, 2 Timothy talks about that, that we're not to forsake any food because that we're, but to sanctify it, set it apart for eating by prayer and blessing it. And now there's this movement that everybody wants you to stop eating beef because it has a global effect on our environment and that we all need to become vegetarians. Have y'all heard about this? Anybody? No? Okay. Well, newsflash. There you go. But there's the Restrict Act that's going on right now. That it's about communication and technology. That's all about, in the name of political correctness and inclusion, for the love of others, beliefs and views, desires, basically do what you want to do. It is, there's population control. Again, just naming a few of the things that are going in our world right now, just so if you're not current, we're not living in 1950. We're not living in a time where you just kind of go out, do your gardening, maybe go out, take a walk, you know, just praise God we're living, amen. There is, and I'm going to show you this, there is an attack right now on mankind. All this and more is not conspiracy theory or just some type of a spiritual prophecy, but is a reality. It's filled biblical prophecy. 2020 was the threshold of a demonic campaign against mankind. If you study out the number 20, is the fulfillment of something and the beginning of a new age, the introduction of something new. And when we stepped over to 2020, we stepped over a threshold where I began the pressure, the campaign against mankind, the demonic campaign was ushered in, and the full-on push for the Antichrist takeover, the devil in full stride to accomplish his will. The Bible calls this darkness. In Isaiah chapter 60, last time I was here, I preached a little bit on this. If you're a note taker, you might remember this, and I'm not going to spend much time here, but I do want to make reference to it. Isaiah chapter 60 in verse 1 and 2, listen to this. It says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. This campaign of darkness that has been ushered in, that is beginning to be in full force, the enemy giving it all he's got, if you will, it can be categorized. God showed me this in four areas. They don't always have to be in this order, but it helps you to kind of get an understanding of how the enemy works. But number one, the first, the devil begins with his campaign of darkness to bring distraction. Before 2020, I always seek the Lord about what do you have to say about this year. And one of the things the Lord spoke to me, he said, 2020 will be the year of the great distraction. And if the devil can distract you, I like to say it this way, the devil can't defeat you, but he can distract you. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 in the Amplified Bible says that looking away from all the distracts. There it is. Now we're kicking on all cylinders. Come on, somebody. Looking away from all that distracts unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. If I can distract you, then I can get you to get your eyes off of what really matters, what is true, and I can bring you into the next step, which is deception. If I can distract you, I can deceive you. Why? Because if I can get your eyes off of truth, which is the state of constant, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is truth. And if the devil can get your eyes off of what is true, then you become subject to deception. And the problem with deception is it's deceiving. Thank you. Amen. I'll appreciate this. We got one like, I got that. That was good. Amen. I'll be here all week. Don't forget to tip her waitress. Amen. So, the problem with deception is deceiving. And the problem is when you're deceived, sometimes you don't know it. And there's probably all of us in here are deceived in some area of our lives where we believe that what we believe is absolute truth, and I'll stand on this mountain and I'm going to die for it. But I could be wrong. So once there's a distraction, then it leads to deception. And where there's deception, now I can bring division. Jesus said it this way, if a house is divided, it cannot stand. Whether it's LSU or the Razorbacks, come on somebody, Auburn Tigers or Roll Tide. If the house is divided, it brings an unsettling and a cracking of the foundation. And if I can distract you, deceive you, and divide you, then ultimately it brings what Satan's purpose is in John 10:10, which is to steal, kill, and destroy. The fourth thing is destruction. It is the ultimate goal that Satan is trying to accomplish in this world is to destroy the plan and the will of God for your life and for anything that God wants to do. But you and I are called by Isaiah chapter 60 to arise and to shine, to take a posture and a position of knowledge of who our God is and begin not to allow darkness to overtake us, but through the knowledge of God to begin to push back the darkness and walk in the light. Glory is God's full fellowship with you. Listen to that. The glory, we sang it in the songs this morning. Man, it was good this morning. I love the worship. Glory is God's full fellowship with you. It is the level at which we are to live our lives, full of God's favorable opinion and the full weight of his presence. This is it. It's all about the presence of God in your lives. Power is secondary. We've made power a big deal, and power is a big deal. But we've placed sometimes power before the presence. And there is no true power without him. Jesus said, in and of myself, I can do nothing. There was a full dependency and a full requirement of his fellowship with the Father. And it is from that presence, that anointing, that favor on your life of the presence of God in and on you, that enables you then to walk in and produce power. God said it to me this way. He said, my presence is no longer a luxury, it's a priority. Coming to church and getting involved and being a part. The Bible says when you see this day approaching, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Because there's something about corporate. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. There's something about you and I coming together and allowing the word that has been meditated on and developed in the heart of the minister, that is sown inside of you, that begins to wash over you. The washing of the water of the word. The Bible says the entrance of God's word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. It is the word of God that is sown in your heart. This desire for you to darken the back door to come in and sit under the presence of God that enables you then to go back out there and not go, well, hope I can make it. It recharges you to go out there and say, come on, devil, I double dog dare you, because greater he that is in me than he that is in the world. There's a reinforcement of the confidence and the knowledge of who your God is. So why do I say these things? It's because God is calling, listen to this, God is calling his church, his body, into position. To get into position for the body of Christ to push back and resist steadfast in faith against the campaign of darkness. To take a posture, a position of that of those that know who their God is. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, one of my favorite verses, probably quoted it last time I was here, but it says the people that know their God, the individual, the person that says, I know him. I love that in Philippians 4:19, Paul said, my God, not pastor's God, not my parents' God, not my grandparents' God, my God. There was something that was intimate, that was known in him, said, my God, the people that know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. What's an exploit? It's a bold act and daring deed. It's the same spirit that when a defiant giant stands up and begins to curse the covenant that God has with you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you don't hide in the gutter. There's something on the inside of you that says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that has the audacity to stand up and curse my God? I'm going out. Give me 5 stones and a slingshot. I'm going to take him down. And then when he goes down, I'm going to grab the sword. I'm cutting off his head. Why? That kind of mentality doesn't come just happenstance. It comes from a relationship and a knowing who your God is. It's like Shadrach. I'm just thinking of some stories. It's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're living in the same culture, the same spirit, the Antichrist spirit that King Nebuchadnezzar raised up a statue and said, you're going to worship this golden image. I believe that God is calling his church to be just like those three young men, to be a stand-up generation in a bow-down world where everybody's taking a knee, but there's something inside of you that says, throw me into the fire, don't throw me in the fire. I'm not going to bow my knee. Why? Because my God will protect me. My God is for me. And if my God's for me, I'm here today to say, who can be against me? So, King, do your best, but I'm here today to tell you, I'm not going to bow my knee. This is not in my message, but it's fun. We're preaching. We're having fun. Y'all having fun? We're doing good? All right. Nobody's left yet. Nobody's left yet. Hallelujah. Lock the doors. No. All right. Here we go. Started off good. Then it got weird. Exodus chapter 20. I want to show this to you because I was saying to take your posture, your position of those that know God, his word. Not secondhand. We've got to get past this mentality of, I'll let pastor, I'll let the new or the radio or somebody else tell me what God's saying. You're going to have to get to the place where God's presence is not luxury, it's priority. that you're getting in the Word of God and you're beginning to read it. You're beginning to pray and spend time in His presence. Man, I ain't read my Bible in 8 months. You know what's so cool about devotion? You can turn it in 1 second. And God will expedite the time in your focus. Man, I ain't read my Bible. I can't tell you last time. I don't know, last time I really prayed and spent time talking to God. And I'm not talking about over my food. You know what's so cool? Go out today, crack your Bible, read a scripture. Boom, you're instantly back into devotion. You're back into the place of hearing the voice of God and getting instruction from Him. Exodus chapter 20. I want to read this. Getting the word. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not it. Yeah, it is. I'm sorry. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 18. Listen to this. This is God or Moses. He's got the children of Israel. He gets them out of Egypt. They're out in the wilderness. And Moses is so excited about introducing the children of Israel to the God that he met. The God that introduced himself to him. He's like, come on, man, I can't wait for you to meet God. Listen to this. And unfortunately, I believe this is sometimes the culture of the church. It says, now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, what happened? They trembled and they stirred to fall off. Now, we're not seeing thunderings and smoking and the mountain trembling or whatever. If you are, you know, crack the pill in half. No, I'm just kidding. But sometimes I feel people don't come to church because they have that same intimidation. Man, I can't go to church. You don't know what I've done, where I've been. Man, I'm going there, I might get struck with lightning. And they have this mentality of standing back. But look at it says in verse 19, it says, and then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you. Don't let that mess with you. And I don't have time to explain that, but don't let it mess with your head. But it says, and that his fear or his awe may be before you so that you may not sin. Verse 21, so the people stood afar off. I love this. But Moses drew near and in the thick darkness where God was. Too many times people want to say, you go talk to God and tell me what he's saying. But God's not wanting you to have secondhand information. Y'all played the game. You whisper in the air, goes around the room. It started off, I love ice cream. Goes around the room, comes back, and it's like, we have poodles? You're like, what? How did this get mixed up? How did it get changed? Why? Because it's secondhand information that went around the room, and by the time it gets back to you, it's totally changed. Listen, God doesn't want you to know his word from secondhand. He doesn't want you to get it just from somebody else. I'm preaching. Pastor David's preached. Others have preached that encourage you, but at the end of the day, you take notes. Why? Because statistically speaking, people that take notes are more likely not to go to hell. Amen. It's not true. It's not true, but it's fun to say. Right now, burn later. No, I'm just kidding. But you take notes or you get things. Why? Because then you go back and you allow God to speak to you. You begin to allow God to bring revelation to your heart, to begin to build an intimate working relationship with him where you know him. You know his word. This isn't, well, you know, I heard what Billy said the other day. No, this is, I was in the presence of God and God began to speak to me. And there's something that happens when God speaks that solidifies your heart. It gives you a steadfastness that when there's opposition and the devil brings all of the gates of hell against you, you will not fail. You will not falter. You will not back down. Why? Because I know who my God is and whom I serve. And I know what he said to me. People will try to bring questions against the validity of who God is. But I'm telling you, when you get this solidified in your heart, you will be unstoppable. So knowing God, his word, not secondhand, but intimately knowing him and are able to walk and live in his standard. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 19, the B part of the verse says, and when the devil comes in, when the enemy comes in like a flood, It says, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. You, the body of Christ, the church, is the standard that God uses to place and push back the forces of darkness. The devil can't just come in and do whatever he wants to do. If the devil could kill you, he would have already done it. But there's something that's on the inside of you. The same Spirit, come on somebody, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it lives on the inside of you. You are a carrier of the divine presence of God, that where you go and when you walk into the room, the atmosphere has to change. Not because you're special, but because there is a divine presence that lives inside of you. And when you begin to speak, when you begin to declare the word of God, all of heaven, hell, and earth have to stand at attention. Making a demand upon the presence of God that is in your life. So I want to give you three things real quick. From 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 and 16, talking about holiness. I know it sounds completely like I'm digressing and switching to a new subject, but stay with me, because I believe, as God's been speaking to me, that God is calling his church to a place of holiness. To live in the standard of what God has purchased for you. When God says to you, be holy as I am holy, God is inviting you into his presence. God never tells you to be something without adequately supplying and giving you the resource to accomplish the command. So real quickly, as I have 12 minutes left here on my clock. Genesis, look here, Genesis chapter 1. My 3 points, I'll give these to you just in case if I have to rush. Number one is holiness produces the rest of God. Holiness produces the rest of God. Number two, holiness produces the presence of God, or the awareness of holiness produces the presence of God. And number three, holiness produces the voice of God. And hopefully I can show you these very quickly. But the rest of God, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 through 2, listen to this. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, and he finished his work he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Verse 3, then God blessed the seventh day. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, or the ESV says, and made it holy. It's the first time the word holy is seen and used in the Bible. That God sanctified it or made it holy because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. I want you to see this. When you understand true holiness, you understand that holiness produces the rest of God. Genesis 1, 1 through 31, God created all things and gave the creation blessing, which is to increase, multiply, subdue, have dominion, and be fruitful. But on the Sabbath day, or on the Genesis 2, 1 through 3, God sanctifies and gives the Sabbath blessing. There's this difference between the 6 days and the seventh day. He on the seventh day, he sanctifies it and gives the Sabbath blessing. That through rest, sanctification, or the setting apart or making holy, would increase and give and rejuvenate and be filled with the presence of God. Notice that day 1 through 6, God said, and the evening and the morning were the first day, the second day, the third day. Which tells us this, and I don't know about you, but I saw this and I was like, wow, that your day does not start in the morning. Your day starts in the evening. Listen to this. Your day does not start in the morning, it starts in the evening. How you rest determines the quality and the output and the production of your day. Come on, parents, am I right? Your kid's up all night screaming and shouting. not feeling good. The next day, you're tagging coffee. You're just like trying to, how you doing, man? I got a 6-month-old. I'm just trying to hang tight, you know. But how you rest determines the quality or the output of your next day. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, 2 through 3, that the Israelites did not, through unbelief, they did not enter into God's rest. What is God's rest? God's rest is his finished work. It is finished. God rested after he created. Let me read this because I wrote it down. God rested in his creation on the holy day or the Sabbath day, the day that he sanctified. Now God rests in his holy son, Jesus Christ. The finished work of Jesus Christ. Jesus hanging on the cross. He yells out, it is finished. Everything that needed to be accomplished, everything that needed to be done to satisfy the requirements for you and I to enter into the presence of God was satisfied through the finished work of Jesus Christ. If you study, man, just, if you study out the tabernacle that they created in the wilderness, you had three layers. You had the outer court, the inner court, and then you had the Holy of Holies. The Bible tells us that when Jesus died on the cross, that curtain was ripped from top to bottom, initiating or saying what? That only the high priest had the availability to enter into the Holy of Holies. And that was after he had shed blood of bulls and goats. Hebrews chapter 9. But through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, he has enabled you and I to enter into the Holy of Holies, that he has enabled you to darken the door and walk in his presence. Why? Because as he is, so are you in this world. Not going to be, but you have been made holy. So the rest of God is produced through the knowledge of the holiness. Number two is the presence of God. Look at Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Everything that I'm speaking this morning is to get you into position, to get you into place that nothing causes you to draw back or to push back from the presence of God. That you belong here, not just in the sanctuary, but you belong in his presence. Because there's something that happens when you have a knowledge of your God, that the presence of God is on you. It changes everything. So many people don't come to church because they think that God is evaluating and he's judging them because if they kicked the dog last night, they hit their finger with a hammer and they yelled out a cuss word, you know, God's mad at you. You better watch out. It's going to get you. God's not mad at you. God's not out to get you. We're living in the time and of the dispensation of God's favor and God's grace. And so when you get a revelation of these things, because listen to me, I'm jumping ahead, but I want you to hear these, that holiness does not produce conduct. God said it to me this way, that the self-effort wars against the will of God. Your desire to achieve God's standard for your life will never work. But when you receive the finished work of Jesus Christ, it elevates you to the position that God created you to be in. You're holy because he's holy. Holiness is not produced by conduct, but the revelation of who you are in Christ and that you've been made holy will produce conduct. Pastor, I was thinking about this. Pastor Dave and I were talking yesterday, and he was asking one of his friends back in high school. He said, how'd you know when I got saved? He said, man, everything about you changed. The way you talked. You didn't cuss. The way you talked about girls, everything changed. Why? Was there something that he did? He'd go into a program and got into all these, you know, these steps and things. No, what happened? The old man had passed away. The new man had become alive. Old things passed away. All things made new on the inside. What happened? God recreated him in his likeness and image, and he began to operate out of a new standard. Now, obviously, you and I have to renew our mind to the Word of God. We got to get in here. The Bible, you don't work and become, you don't have levels of righteousness. The Bible says you are made righteous. But the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy that the word of God is used, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in the new nature that God's made you to be. Are y'all with me? So we use the word of God to instruct us, to help us, not because righteousness is not something that you achieve. Holiness is not something that you achieve. It's something that is received. See, religion doesn't like that. Why? Because religion wants to put a mandate and a pressure on you that says, you've got to be like this. You better not dip, smoke, or chew, or go with girls that do. I'm telling you, you better change. And you're out there like, I give up, dude. I tried, and I am far from being holy. I ain't no saint, tell you that one. I'll tell you that much. But see, that's the unrenewed mind that's living out of the old man. But I'm not the old man. I'm a new man. Come on. I'm not a human being having a spiritual experience. I'm a spirit being having a natural experience. So I've got to learn how to allow my spirit man, the real me on the inside, that is governed and is dictated and instructed by the word of God to help me to how to navigate in this natural realm. Because if you let the natural realm dictate to you and tell you how to navigate through this natural realm, you'll try to do it in and of yourself and you'll fail every single time. And you'll come up short. And you will say, not holy. But God can't tell you, be holy as I am holy, without giving you the ability to achieve. And he's not asking you to achieve it. He's asking you to receive it. To simply say, I thank you that I'm holy. Because here's the thing. The closer you get to the presence of God, just like through the outer court, the inner court, and to the Holy of Holies, the closer you get to the presence of God, the more aware that you become of who you are in him. So Genesis chapter 3, let me run through this real quick. First, there's the rest of God. Number two, the presence of God. Moses has taken his sheep. He's tending them, taking them to the backside of the desert. Let me jump to verse 2, and it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Listen to me. This is a type and shadow of Jesus. He's the Bible says in Ezekiel that he's a fire from the waist down and a fire from the waist up. He is the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel in the desert by night and the cloud by day. I mean, this is a representation of Jesus. But what I want you to notice is that the fire of God, the glory of God, it does not consume, it purifies. Because here's the deal. This bush, this trail, he had led the sheep by this place how many times? This was probably the routine. This was probably the normal course, the normal area that he led his sheep week after week after week. But this day, as he's walking, he notices something completely different. That the bush that he had passed by so many times is now just not sitting there. It's on fire, but it's not consumed. And as he decides to look, as he decides to move towards the bush, I love this verse 3. Moses said, I will now turn aside. I love this because if you study it out, it means that he departed his normal course of action. He took an exit. As a traveling minister, I drive a lot. Sometimes I bring my kids with me. Dad, we got to go to the bathroom. We're like, just come on, hang tight. We got an hour. I just want to push. You know, we got to get there. What do you do? Sometimes you got to take an exit for a bathroom break. Get a big gulp, whatever, refreshment. Come on, somebody, right? You got to. You leave your normal course of action. And if you got Google on, it says redirecting, recalculating, whatever. You know, it's trying to figure out, what are you doing? You're leaving the planned course. But it's amazing that when he left his plan, his desire, his course of action to see the presence of God, listen to what happened. He looked and God called to him in the midst of the bush, verse 4, and said, Moses! And he said, here am I. And he said, then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. This is the second time the word is used holy in the Bible. And what is amazing to me is the other, you know, as Moses is walking by the bush 2 weeks earlier, the ground wasn't holy. He went by and there was nothing there. There was nothing going on. But today, the bush is on fire and he's approaching it because he's intrigued. And God says, hold up, stop, wait a minute. Don't come near. Why? Because the ground that you are standing on is holy ground. Why was it holy? Because God had come near to it and occupied it. And where the presence of God is, it changes, as I've already preached, where the presence of God is, it changes the atmosphere and the condition of the situation or the environment. Here's what I want you to see, that God has come near to you. God has occupied you. What makes you holy? Your efforts, your abilities, you crossing the I's and dotting the T's. Said that backwards, didn't I? Just make sure y'all are listening. It's not about you. It's the fact that God said through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that I have come near and by the Holy Spirit have occupied you. You have become the residence and the meeting place of the Holy Spirit, of the presence of God. This is phenomenal because the current events that I read earlier are the darkness, the campaign of the enemy. Our world, one would say, is falling apart. But I'm here today to tell you, our world is not falling apart. It's falling into position. It is falling into the prophetic words of what God declared and said would happen in these days. But you and I are not to buy some dehydrated milk and a box of beans and go hide somewhere, but rather say the presence of God has come near, occupied me. There's something about realizing that the Holy God lives in me that causes you to say, I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to draw back, but rather I'm going to press and push back the kingdom of darkness. And then all of a sudden what happens is as we begin to have this mentality and this renewed mind that our communities begin to get changed and witnessing and telling somebody about the things of God is no longer an intimidation. Why? Because it's not about me. It's not about who I am. There's something that is contagious that is in me and on me that says, oh my gosh, I've got to help you. I've got to reach down and pull you out of the pit that you're in. And it's not by my might. It's not by my power. But it's by the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of me. I don't know about you, but when Jesus calls us home, I'm going to be looking busy. Come on, we're writing our resume right now for eternity. I don't know about you, but my resume, you have to have action words on it. Nobody's going to hire you when you're looking on there lazy, laid on the couch, didn't do much, ate chips, loves Lay's. You know, it's like, no, okay, we'll call you. If your phone's not ringing, it's me. You know what I mean? Is that they're not going to be looking for you. But what happens when you set that resume down, it says developed, pioneered, built, did something. All of a sudden, there's like, man, there's value in you. God says that you do much in this time. You do what God's called you, you'll be ruler over much. And my encouragement to you today is that there's something that God's calling us to get into position, to step up to the plate, and to begin to do what God's called you to do in the area of influence that you're in. If you're building houses, if you're a teacher, whatever, if you're an entrepreneur, there is a mandate upon you to bring the tangible presence of God into that situation and into that realm. Not in and of yourself, but because of who you are in Him. Last but not least, and this deserves a whole thought, but number one, when you know the holiness of God, it produces the rest of God. Number two, I was going to say, yeah, y'all come up, tickle the ivory a little bit. Number two, the presence of God. And last but not least, the voice of God. Let me read this to you. Exodus chapter 25. I'll end with this. Exodus chapter 25. Y'all still glad you came this morning? If you're a visitor, God bless you. Make sure you come back and hear the pastor. This is not normal. This is, you know, we had the third cousin or weird uncle show up today. And we just thought we'd let him hang out, you know. It's good to be home. Amen. Exodus chapter, look at this real quick. Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. I want to read this verse, start in verse 17 through 22. Real quick, we'll end with this. You shall make, this is God, he's speaking to Moses about the Ark of the Covenant. You shall make a mercy seat, a pure gold, 2.5 cubits shall it be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width. And you shall make 2 cherubims of gold, of hammered work. You shall make them at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub at one end and the other cherub at the other end. And you shall make the cherubim at the 2 ends of it, 1 piece with the mercy seat. The cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And they shall face one another. The faces of the cherubim shall be towards the mercy seat. And you shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark. And in the ark you shall put the testimony that I have given you, or my word. And there I will meet with you. Listen to these words, what I want you to see. And there I will meet with you. And there I will speak with you from above the mercy seat. The Ark of the Covenant was the item that was in the Holy of Holies. It is from the mercy seat. What is the mercy seat? It is the place where the blood is poured out. What is mercy? It's God withholding what you deserve. You and I both, we deserve judgment. We deserve punishment. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 30, 18, that God is a God of justice. He demands payment for the wrong done. But what is so amazing about our God is that he did not demand it of you. He placed your punishment, the penalty for your sin, on Jesus Christ. The Bible says that every morning, his mercy is new every morning. What is mercy? It's God's unsatisfied desire to help you. God's for you, and it is from that place of mercy, that place of knowing the Holy of Holies, the presence of God, where God's voice, his word, becomes loud and clear. It's amazing to me when you allow guilt and shame, something that you did, the condemnation the devil tries to bring, that you, like Adam in Genesis chapter 3, where he hid himself in the garden because he heard his voice. You're not supposed to run from God, you run to God. And you do so not in and of yourself, but through Jesus Christ. But when you run to him, it's amazing that when you embrace who he is and what he's done for you, that the voice of God becomes so clear and so powerful. It is when we allow condemnation to get into us that we draw back, and all of a sudden we begin to get clouded vision and chaos, and clarity seems off. And what are you doing? I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. And God is saying to us this morning, church, come on, get into position. Quit trying to earn it. Quit trying to achieve it. Just receive. Begin to declare, Father God, I thank you that I am who you say that I am. You said, I am holy, be holy. I thank you, Father God, that I am as you are. I am holy. I've been made righteous. It's amazing if you'll begin to declare with your mouth, not your faults, not your failures, not your inadequacies, but you begin to declare what the word of God says about you through Jesus Christ. Read Ephesians chapter 2, that you're chosen, that you're accepted, you're his beloved. When you begin to declare those things, it's amazing to me how the presence of God will begin to envelop you. It'll begin to saturate you. And you'll live out of that place of intimacy with him. Let me read this last thing and we'll be done. Holiness is not merely actions. We need mind renewal on this. I mean, even the subject, you talk about holiness, everybody's like, oh, where's it going with this one? Seems like it's kind of an offbeat thing. Why? Because we have this mindset about holiness as something that I don't know if I can ever attain to it. But holiness is not merely actions. But the knowledge of holiness will produce actions. Religion wants to teach you and force that it wars against the will of God. But listen, as holiness is what we absorb and manifest as we live our lives in and from God's presence. Christ is our holiness. 1 Corinthians 1:30. This whole message is to excite you. That you're not supposed to just live your life just trying to mark off the days and the calendar and just try to get by. Stand if you will with me. I'm wrapping up. I'm done right here. I'm going to minister to you and then we're going to wrap it up. Let you go get some lunch. I want to use that line that John Osteen gave. Says, "The short-winded shall be heard again." But I think I went way past that. So it's been good, guys. We'll see you. No, I'm just kidding. But I want to encourage you because here's the thing. Everything the devil's trying to do is to get you to stay out of the presence of God. To live your life knowing one day in the future when I die or Jesus comes, I'll be in heaven. Oh, what a glorious day that'll be. It's all futuristic, which does what? It enables, it produces a mindset of inactivity. It produces a mentality of just surviving. How many, God doesn't want you just to survive. God's not looking for you just to occupy this time and then get to heaven and go, "Whew, I'm done, thank God." But rather to live in the fullness of what he's deposited on the inside of you. Listen to me, man. Jesus did not just come so that you could get a golden ticket and go to heaven. Although that is priority and that's first place, man. We want you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But the moment that you do that, now it's time to step out of the old habit and way of doing and begin to live a life, a standard that is above all of our approach of the enemy. It doesn't matter if you're 3 or 83. God lives on the inside of you and has asked you to be a part of the campaign to push back the kingdom of darkness. He's asked you to link arms with your fellow believers and say, "I'm here to stand with you. I don't care what the devil's thrown at you, what lie he's tried to sell you, to stop you, to deter you, to slow you down and back you up. But I'm telling you today, I'm going to link arms with you. We're going to encourage one another. We're going to declare the word of God out of our mouths. And we're going to begin to rise up, take our posture and our position as one that has been saturated with the glory and the presence of God." So my encouragement, here's what I feel in my heart today. Don't let the devil lie to you any longer. Stop. The lie that you're inadequate, you're not sufficient, you're not enough, you're not going to make it. That event disqualified you. It's all a lie from the pit of hell. And I'm telling you right now, you're going to make it. Come on, somebody say, "I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. I'm not giving up. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm going to make it. I'm an overcomer. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." When I show up, the atmosphere changes because God lives in me. I can bring healing. I can bring hope. I can bring deliverance because God's with me. Everything I set my hand to prospers. Every endeavor that God leads me to will succeed. My business will grow. My family's protected. My body's healthy. I'm a child of the Most High God. I live in His presence. Come on, lift your hands this morning. Come on, give Him praise. Father, we magnify you. God, we thank you for what you're doing in this church. God, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing in this community. God, that there's a group of believers here in Lake Charles that believe you, that stand on your word, that are excited about the kingdom of God being established in this region. Father, I thank you for the growth that is coming to this church. I'm telling you, I had this in my spirit and I just declared over you. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Get ready. Get into position.